So this is another episode of Complimentary Pieces. I am your host, Dylan Sage. So for this episode, we are going to be talking about the French sharpshooter, Melvin Ajinkya. He currently plays on Saint Quentin. So apologies if I did not pronounce the name of the city right. Saint Quentin. He is a wing. He is 19 years old, 6'8", 210 pounds. The name Ajinkya might sound very familiar to those who were basketball fans in the mid to late 2010s. He is the cousin of Alexis Ajinkya, who played for the Bobcats, Mavs, Raptors, and most notably the Pelicans. I know a lot of Blazers in the past asked me about Alexi Ajinkya, so, you know, he also is the assistant coach for the Washington, D.C. Capital City Go-Go. So Melvin definitely has some pretty decent bloodlines when it comes to basketball. Before the college season started, I was watching a lot of his tape. He's on the French U19, under 19 class. And it honestly, like, a lot of the foreign-born players, it was like, these guys are so good that they could be the headliners for this draft and not make it not as, you know, low-ceilinged as it is right now. Obviously, I was wrong, but the French, if you really look at, like, mocks, a lot of foreign-born players are the stars of this draft. You look at Alex Sarr, you look at Zachary Richichet, you look at Saloon, you look at a lot of players, a lot of them aren't born in America. So, you know, Ajinkya was kind of just like one of those guys that was performing before the NCAA season happened. So he has the U19 version of him and the professional team where he was playing for like a French team, Saint Quentin. But you see two totally different roles in what she does. On the French team, he is a big part of the offense. They have him shoot. He's one of the best shooters in the draft. So they obviously have him be a shooter, but they also have him be more of a usage guy. Like, he has the freedom to attack off the bounce, to shoot middies, and to shoot layups. He's putting up 19 points per game on really nice efficiency. So you're seeing what a scaled-up version of Melvin Ajinkya looks like. And then you're looking at his team in San Quentin, where he's more of a corner sitter, or depending on the opposing team. A lot of teams run 2-3 against him, where there's two people on the top of the defense and three on the bottom. So he's used as a zone breaker on his professional team, but he doesn't really have the freedom or the empowerment of, let's show off the other skill sets that you may have with the off the bounce attack, or you know getting to the hoop, scoring. He's really just running off screens or just in the corner, the hash sitting. So you get to see two different potential roles of what he can be. The scaled up and then the scaled down. And when you really look at what he is going to be in the NBA, I think in the league he will be used more as the corner sitter. But also if he gets drafted, he could be running off screens like a Jordan Hawkins. But with what he's shown, yeah, there is the ability of him being able to score in more ways than just off the catch or off movement. But I don't think that a professional team is going to empower him to do everything that he can do immediately. It might happen in the future, but for his first contract, I think he is just corner sitting, hash sitting, breaking zones if a team like the Heat or the Blazers play him. He's just going to be there to break the zone. Regardless of role, though, I think having two different, you know, settings to see what he can and cannot do in a professional, at least professional setting, or representing his country. So two pretty high leverage spots You get to see tape of what he can do. And I think the number one thing you look at when you look at Melvin Ejensa is his sharpshooting. He's 6'8 with a really fast high release, and it arcs really high. So the defender has to be really special if he blocks his three-point shot because of how fast it is. Not many people are going to have that everything defensively to make sure his shot gets blocked. They might be able to contest, but you can contest almost any three-point shooter. He has a very difficult shot to really just absolutely stop. And because he's doing this in a pro setting, you know, France is a very high conference of play. And then as a U19, I think that his shot is really translatable. You see it. He's a professional right now. And he's taking and making shots and doing it in the catch and shoot and off of screens. Really translatable. And I've seen him take off-balance shots. Not everything has to be perfect for him to score. So I think if he can score while being off-balance a little bit, the movement abilities that he has are also pretty translatable. So I'm really impressed with what he with how he shoots and where he shoots. And go like the court mapping that he has. So a lot of players like to, you know, kind of bunch up. Especially in transition. They don't run their zones, run their lanes. They kind of just collapse to the hoop. I really haven't seen Melvin just like completely kill spacing like I've seen some of the other shooters in this draft class do. So I really am impressed with how he understands the concept of proper spacing and like having someone that doesn't ruin what the offense is trying to do by getting too close or, you know, trying to do something they're not capable of is really impressive. He has some dribble combinations that generate a lot of space for him, but I wouldn't say that he's necessarily a good on-ball creator. I would actually say when defensive pressure happens, he becomes a little bit sloppy with the ball when driving, and it can result in some turnovers. Also, when there's pressure on him when he has the ball, he settles for some pretty difficult shots around the basket and has some tunnel vision. So I wouldn't suggest that a team puts him in any playmaking role. I think that he can do that if it's a standstill, he makes the easy pass decision or cuts and then help happens and he kicks it to the right person. But I'm not saying he's dribbling 10 times trying to get a shot for himself or others. I don't think that that is going to be what you put Melvin Ejensa in the game to do. You're trying to have him be an off-ball guy spacing the court. One thing that I noticed about him in the French concept is the coach puts him in positions to set screens for his opponent. And he sets really aggressive screens. And they happen when he is the back screener in a Spanish pick and roll. And the Spain pick and roll is happens when a screen is set for the ball handler, just like a normal pick and roll. And then the third player sets a screen on the player defending the man rotating to the rim. So in essence, it's a 3-on-2 advantage when you run a Spain pick and roll. He's really good at setting that back screen, allowing, you know, the roll to the rim. So you can put him in some rotations where you don't think of him as like a power forward because he is kind of skinny, but he's shown that he can use that 6'8 frame to his advantage and make mismatch happen. So I'm really impressed with what he does as an offensive player. So defensively, he's not really a stocks guy, which is blocks plus steals. He's not a Ryan Rupert, who's also on that French team. You can watch him in U19 games like in previous years. He's more of an off-ball defender, but he plays bigger than that 6'8 frame because when he rotates down, he plays and defends the basket on the low rotation. I'm not totally sure what he will do in the concept of isolating against an NBA quality on-ball creator. I just don't know because he just isn't that guy. It's the NFL draft. I'm going to use a reference. He's much more of a free safety than he is a lockdown corner. He's going to be able to play in a team concept and thrive. I don't know if I would personally feel good about putting him in as your defensive guy. But what he does provide defensively is switchability and screen navigation. He doesn't get those blocks because he's just not a Sox guy, but he uses his athleticism to get really good contests on player driving towards the basket when he's in low responsibility defensively. I think that he'll be a little bit of a positive defender when it all comes down to it. But one of the things that kind of worries me about him is he is an athletic dude, but he just doesn't rebound. So if he doesn't change that narrative, there's going to be people that think, yeah, he's athletic. He just does not get boards. And that is, especially thinking of a Blazers perspective, we have so many athletically gifted guys that don't get the boards. I don't want Melvin Ejensa to think of that, to be like characterized as athletic but doesn't use his athletic gifts to get rebounds. Now, I get that what he does is shoot really well, so I would like for him on potential fast breaks to run down to wherever he feels comfortable, corner, wing, straight on, and shoot. But him not being able to get many rebounds also, you know, like, I think in when they're talking, you know, in the 20s, 25s, they're talking about Melvin Ejensa, he doesn't get that many rebounds, so we don't know what he can do in our scheme. Yeah, he's running down to get a three, and that's great, but sometimes we need all men on deck to try and get this rebound in a clutch scenario. So let's talk about his fit with the Portland Trailblazers. All right, I think that he's an NBA athlete, for sure, whose elite skill is his three-point shooting. Plus, he is 6'8". He fits that mold of a D&3 player, and yeah, I know the Blazers have multiple guys that also are characterized as a D&3 player, but what separates Melvin compared to everybody else on our roster is that those guys are defenders and in theory shooters. Melvin has shown in pro ball in France and representing his country that he's a multi-talented shooter. His defense might be less aggressive than Ryan Rupert and Toumani, but he's really cerebral in his defense and is cool with playing bigger than he actually is. So I think he's going to be a positive defender with an absolute three-point bag in his arsenal. I think he would be a very good fit with the Blazers, with all of the indicators saying he's going to be a good enough defender. He's not going to get hunted by, you know, opposing defenses in clutch scenarios. He'll be good enough, and he is such a good three-point shooter that I think that he will be able to stay on the floor because of his shooting and because he is a good team defensive player. I mean, we talked about on this podcast and on this channel about EV Benning. Where he is slotted to be late first, early second is really good expected value for a guy that can fit in any scheme with his defense and his three-point shooting. So let's talk comps for Melvin Ejensa. I think that he is the 6'8 version of Jordan Hawkins. I remember sending a tweet to Dustin saying that Melvin Ejensa is going to be his favorite guy. And because he's busy being a father to a 1-year-old, he's not able to be as, you know, on it when it comes to scouting. But I think that if he was able to look at him, he would fall in love with what Melvin Ejensa can do in a pro setting with his potential movement skills, his off-the-dribble skills, and his catch-and-shoot skills. So I think of him as a much taller Jordan Hawkins. Malik Beasley would be one. Tim Hardaway Jr. is another guy that I think would be very, very a good comp for him. And I think as a ceiling, you're looking at a 2023 version of Richard Hamilton, just because you're looking at a taller dude who has the ability to move and take shots. So I think that Melvin Ejensa, like, I see him in the high 30s as a draft guy. And I mean, like, I can look at Tankathon right now, but let's see where they have the Blazers in a mock draft with those late first or early seconds So they have him at 34, picking Dylan Jones, who I also talked about, and also Iguodaro in this mock. Melvin Ejensa would have been taken 37, where Blazers have 34 and 40. So he definitely is in the right spot for a Blazers draft pick. But I honestly think that he's a first-round guy. He doesn't have the major flaws in his game. Like, Dylan Jones is kind of the same size, but he's kind of, you know, point forward that isn't as athletic as he should be. Or, you know, the Ryan Dunn's 31, who might be the best defender in the class but has no offensive game. Melvin Ejensa has a really good combination of both, and he could help whatever team drafts him. It's going to be a feather in whoever the GM is that picks Melvin Ejensa. So I'm all about, you know, taking a chance on a guy that can be a really nice rotational piece. He'll never be a star, but he's going to be a guy that can stretch the floor for you, be 6'8", be athletic, shoot really, really well. So I'm all about giving Melvin Ejensa a chance on this team. I think he's a really good fit for us. So thank you so much for listening. This podcast or channel is sponsored by Odd Shopper. Get yourself the best tools to make positive EV bets in whatever sports book you use. So thank you to Odd Shopper. I definitely appreciate you making this happen for me. So thank you for listening. We will be back. I think we're going to do Zachary Richichet. And then there's plenty of other guys that I can talk about here on complimentary pieces. So thank you. We'll be back soon. Peace.